This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. As we get closer to the start of the National Football League today, rookies next week, the veterans come in, and then we'll be off and running. Before you know it, the Miami Dolphins will be hitting the road for never had this happen before. I believe we're going to be on the road for, I don't know, somebody said 10 days. That seemed a little long, but it's going to be for a while. Back-to-back games, stay on the road and do some practices between Chicago and Detroit and their two preseason games before coming back home. And we get a chance to see Jacksonville together, and especially that first pick that they have that seems like he's pretty damn special. And then we're off and running. Before you know it, we'll be talking about the Colts and most likely Daniel Jones, a quarterback, and getting off to a good start for the football season. By the way, yesterday, I don't know if you guys do this from time to time. Everybody's got something connected to the Dolphins now. Podcast, articles, and people that work for different social media outlets. They have different teams, and we have. So I see people already trying to just say that Tua's going to have a really bad season or get hurt, and they already know who the quarterback's going to be. They're going to draft a quarterback next year, and it might be. And of all people, they threw out Mendoza, who had a great year at Cal and got some money, I'm guessing, and got out of Cal. And I believe he's at Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's where he is now. And listen, I'm a big fan. If he'd have been a quarterback here next year, right now for the Miami Hurricanes, I'd have been fine with it. Coming back home to play, went to Columbus High School. His family's down here. But I'm just like, hey, to the writer, I don't want to say his name, but to the Sporting News, like, hey, man, before you already get ahead of yourself, and I know we're trying to kill some time here before the start of the season, and everybody's got an opinion on Tua, and that's fine. Whether you think he'll stay healthy or he stays healthy, he's not very good is what you're saying, or he can't stay healthy, which we'll see. But you're already reaching for next year and a quarterback they might take. without even really knowing how the quarterback thing's going to work out in college or where you're going to be picking, whether you're going to have a chance to get that quarterback. Why don't you let it play out a little bit before you decide to go that far out in front? Now, you want to talk about December and the problems of the Dolphins in December and January? Those are fair. That's been a problem. But you're already talking about skipping this year and looking at next year? I don't get it. I don't get it. Not a good article. No. And you don't even have any. There's no substance to the article at all. Except Mike's on a hot seat and Chris on a hot seat and all the everybody you think's on a hot seat and all those things. But, hey, man, it's here. We don't have to worry about who's here and who's not here. This is a group they went with. Nobody else did. We didn't put the team together. They put the team together. And we'll see. I get it, by the way. I'd agree with 99% of the people. Expectations aren't as high as they were last year and the year before, for sure. Totally agree. Not. And you throw in all the stuff that's gone on here recently, trading a couple of guys here after signing a guy for a couple of years and then deciding, nah, he's a bad fit for our team and getting rid of him. Probably should have been done before that. Probably should have had a better feel. It's hard for me to imagine he changed that much from last year, but okay, it's over. He's gone. He's in Pittsburgh. We're moving on. You got a game plan. There's no question. I hope you have a game plan and you got a pretty good idea of how good your young guys are and can be, because unless you trade for somebody or you pick up one of these veterans that's still out there, there's four or five of them out there, at the end of their careers, all of them, or been injured. That's where you are. So, yeah, I hope they do play a lot of young guys. I hope we do develop some of those guys. I hope Jason Marshall can play. Hell, I hope Cam Smith. I hope the light goes on finally on the second floor, that Cam Smith can figure some things out. Because so far he's been in denial about what he's done on this team. Not much in 2 years. You're the first guy taken by your team, pal. You need to be better. Ethan Bonner gets a chance. Storm Duck gets a chance. Got some starts. Take it from there. Take it to the next level. Artie Burns, maybe, you know, one more go-around. Former first-round pick. So, good opportunity for some guys. I hope, you know, and Anthony Weaver's and that coaching staff they have on defense, which I think is really good, they can develop these guys, get them in the system, and roll. And we'll see.
I think the thing that scares people the most, though, Joe, is this mediocrity, right? You're not quite good. You're not quite bad. You're just right there in the middle. And that's, I think, what bothers people the most, right? Because if you're good, you obviously you got a shot. If you're bad, you got a shot at a top pick. But the Dolphins are just, they're just there, man. They're middle of the road.
Which is
the worst place to be in the NFL, and they're stuck there because they're not bad enough to, like, you know, be one of those teams that can win one, two, or three games, something like that, right?
No, they won't. They have.
I don't see any way something like that happens.
So,
but I also don't see any path to, you know, winning the division and making noise in the playoffs either. So, where does that leave us? It leaves us, like, you know, all roads lead back to 500, right?
Right. 8-9, 9-8.
That's a disastrous place to be.
Is what everybody is scared to death about right now, that we are not Buffalo. We are not Baltimore. I'll finish it for you, and we're not Kansas City. Kansas City, my God, the last, what, 5 or 6 years, it's AFC, Super Bowl win, Super Bowl, Super Bowl win, AFC.
Well, yeah, no one's Kansas City. But.
So, and listen, Buffalo, I think, is really good, and Baltimore is really good. And you know what's happened to them in the playoffs. They can't get over the hump against the other guy. So it's fair. That part is more than fair. Look, man, I've said this for every guy that has on their bio winning seasons. This thing's not about winning seasons, man. It's just not about winning seasons when you coach for the Miami Dolphins. It's just not about winning seasons. It's just not. There's another number that's overtaken all of that. And I know they know that. And I'm not trying to be a tough guy or tell them something they don't know. We haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. Are you kidding me? I didn't say it, Woody. 25 years? Come on. That's a goal. Even if you don't win the division, which, by the way, you win the division, it sure is a hell of a lot easier getting that first home game at home. At home, that's...
But that's one of the reasons they haven't won a playoff game, too, is because they haven't truly bottomed out. Even the year that they were supposedly tanking, they still didn't end up with the top pick, right?
Well...
So you never officially, like, bottomed out.
So you know what's so funny? Honestly, if we're to really look back, one of the greatest coaching years was what he did. Think about what Brian Flores did. Not to bring up Brian Flores today.
Well, I don't think many people are going to agree with you.
Defensive coordinator for Minnesota.
A great job, but
what?
I don't think many people are going to agree with you. I think people were very upset that they weren't worse. Again, they just that was
no,
the time,
no,
Joe.
But
if you were going to bottom out as a franchise, like if you were ever going to bottom out and get that top pick, that was the year.
Nobody's
going to
do that, man. Nobody is going to do that. Nobody.
But you had a quarterback on the roster you could have rolled with that probably would have gotten you there.
You're probably right. You're probably right. So, Brian Flores had to make a decision. You remember the first two games. They're outscored, what, 90 to whatever.
Yeah, was that when Baltimore
New
hung
England,
like 60 on them? Yeah.
And Steve Young came out and said, I'm concerned guys are going to get hurt on the Dolphins.
Yes,
it's so bad. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, they were like, he's like, they're a college team. They're going to get hurt, yeah.
And Brian Flores, as I'm told, realizes the guys are going, hey, what are we doing? That guy can't play. The Josh Rosen kid sucks. Well, what are we doing? I don't care if we Chris Greer gave up a 2 and a 5. He can't play. He's terrible. Like, we got another guy that everybody likes that's a free-spirited dude that he's ready to go. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Guy steps in. Remember that game they lose right at the end? And then they flipped that thing around. He had a meeting and said, hey, guys, I'm in this to win it. I don't want anybody to think. You guys have heard the tank for Tua. I ain't doing it. We are friggin' going to do whatever it takes to win. I'm here to win games. Now, I don't know if everybody is on the same page with that behind the scenes, but and I'll never forget, he said, I've seen enough of Josh Rosen. Which apparently the whole league, that was it. Because he got a couple, what did he get, a practice squad or two, and now he's in some private school. I think he's going to school or something. I don't know if he's trying to be a doctor or business guy or whatever he is. But anyway, that was a hell of a job. He coached his ass off. Didn't it end, if I'm not mistaken, they beat New England in New England? Was that the game? Was that the game where our tight end's in the back of the end zone, catches a pass, and we come back and beat the Patriots and knock them out of the number one seed? I mean, they still won the division with Brady, but yeah, it was some crazy story, and I was like, man, that was impressive. But obviously, from the other end about what you're talking about, it wasn't good. But I don't know how you do that if you're playing a guy and the whole team knows the other guy is a lot better. You're going to lose every guy on your team. Nobody will want to play for you. That's a tough decision for Brian Flores to deal with. His job's to win games. Nobody wants to, hey, you know, there's a guy we can get if we stay the way we did the first couple weeks. This will be a slam dunk. We can get that quarterback. Then we can start winning. Yeah, what about if you decide we get that quarterback and I'm not the guy? My resume looks real bad. So that's a tough call, Woody, right? Am I right on that? That's a tough one.
Yeah, I think you're right on it, Joe. We're getting a lot of texts on this topic here, but you know, I just think, again, people are just very frustrated with the fact
I get it.
You're just there. You're not good. You're not bad. You're just there. And that's what they've been for this entire stretch for the most part.
They put up something. I think I said this to you a couple weeks ago. I think Josh Allen has averaged like 13 wins a season. I don't know what that maybe since he's been in the league. I don't know about the first year, but
yeah, I mean, it sounds right.
They've done a lot of winning. Yeah, and so we'll see, because Stephen Ross believed in these guys and made up his mind before that last game. before that last game that he wanted those guys back. GM and head coach, which means everybody else. I want to do it. So anyway, we've got to go to break here. We're running super late here this morning. I'm all over the place here with all this stuff. I do agree, though, Woody, you make some really good points, man. Like, you know, and if I have one more person tell me it's about a winning record, like, we're not that bad. We have a winning record. I go, what? I always think of Don Shula if you would have told him, like, hey, coach, don't be so mad. I mean, come on, we went 9-7 this year. We went 10-6. We almost won the division.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when we have Omar in here and he spits out all these ridiculous Tua numbers that makes Tua sound like he's, you know, freaking Patrick Mahomes or something. Like, it's just all mediocre, man. Like, the quarterback play, the personnel decisions, everything is mediocre with this team. There's nothing good, nothing quite bad enough, right? Like, I don't think anyone's going to sit here and tell you Tua's terrible because he's not. No. Right, I'm definitely not a fan of his, Joe, and he's not terrible, but he certainly isn't very good. I mean, he's not going to be the reason you win a Super Bowl.
I will just say this on behalf of Tua: I would really like to see him for 17.
It doesn't matter. You've seen that,
Joe.
Let's live in reality. Are the Dolphins going to win a Super Bowl with Tua as their quarterback? Are they going to make it out of? Are they going to make a Super Bowl with Tua as their quarterback?
No.
I mean, it's incredibly unlikely.
Okay,
I mean,
but the year he was healthy, he won 11 games. He did.
Yeah, didn't they get blown out in the playoffs?
All right, so he won 11 games, but he won 11 games. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
But they didn't beat anyone of any substance that year, though. Yes, they beat up on some bad teams. They put up some big numbers. Great.
But you can't go by, this is not college football. Like, you can't do the bad team thing. You just can't.
Why can't you do the bad teams? That's a real thing.
Because the...
It's a real thing. If you go play the Browns and you or the Broncos or whatever, and you blow them out, great. But then when you get a good team that comes in here and they beat the crap out of you, like, how is that not a real thing?
Like,
and I get it's not college football where it's like strength of schedule matters, you know, to the committee, but that's a real thing, man.
I would just like one more time to see Tua stay healthy and play 17 games. That's all I'm saying. I want to see it.
I got you, but the reality is,
okay. Well,
don't
we'll
all
see.
Roads with that guy as your starting quarterback? Don't all roads lead back to mediocre? Whether he plays, doesn't play, whatever.
What do you mean if he plays or doesn't play?
And you know as well as anyone, Joe, that this guy could be one hit away from them.
Well, wait a sec, you're all over the board. You're all over the board. You jump from one topic to the next. I want to see him play 17 games. If he can't, they're done. I mean, if he can't play 17 and he misses games, first of all, you can never count on him again. Like, that's it.
Okay. I mean, you said this, well, whatever.
You can say whatever you want.
It's not the first time I've heard
people
say this.
And by the way, it does start with Tua. Agree with you 100%. Quarterback is the most important position, even here with the Miami Dolphins. But
I just think it's funny that you think, like, that's kind of like almost irrelevant that, like, oh, they beat up on the bad teams. You don't.
By the way, I don't think no matter what Tua does this year, he's as good as the same group of guys that are atop of that QB thing every year. I mean, I'm with you.
I just think this feels like almost like a placeholder year where it's just like, all right, let's just go out there and let's see if we can tread water and, you know, we'll figure it out next offseason. We'll make the right additions. And I don't know, man. It just feels like they're doing enough just to kind of stay afloat here.
All right, well, we'll sit back and watch, and we'll see how it goes.
Oh, we're watching, you
decide,
bro. But,
you decide you're going to lose by 40 every game.
Okay. Don't worry. People are going to buy the tickets, man. You don't have to worry about that.
I don't know. By the way, I'm not so sure about that. I think a lot of people are down on this thing.
Then you'll give out freebies if you have to, just to pack the stadium.
I don't think they do that.
Can you? Do they have to buy tickets for the blackout thing? Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Remember that when the owners would have to buy the tickets to avoid the blackouts?
I remember that. I did. I did. By the way, they had that problem here.
I don't know if that's a thing.
No,
still.
during that 25 years, we had that little problem here, and people are running to bars. And remember, you couldn't if it was within 30 miles. I remember people calling in, "Hey, I'm up here in Palm Beach. They got it." It was far enough away that the blackout was off, and then at the last second, Dolphins buy the last 2,000 tickets. The blackout is off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. As you know, the Miami Dolphin rookies are now in camp and in meetings and getting used to everything and getting all set for the veterans to report next week. And then we're off and running, man. Off and running, and we don't have to start looking ahead to like 12 months from now and what the Miami Dolphins might be doing. You can focus on everything. Woody, I've had this on my mind, and I can't get rid of it. I can't bet on it, but I just, this Tyreek Hill thing. So I saw Tyreek Hill's name popped up yesterday for as the third best through the whole list of people, the front office guys around the NFL and coaches and whoever was asked about this and to rank some guys. And they had Tyreek Hill behind Chase and Jefferson. I have no problem with that. Listen, I think those guys are clearly the two best receivers in football. I really do. I think they're clearly one and two. And there's a lot of really good number one receivers, but I think those two are different level. I do. And it's just me. But I got to tell you, man, this Tyreek Hill thing, and I know we went through this Tyreek Hill all offseason. I just think Tyreek Hill is going to be way over. What was the number? Like 985, if I'm not mistaken. 985.
975.
975. Over under.
Only way
yards.
He doesn't get that is if he gets hurt.
So he really is durable to start with. He yes. does play hurt. I give him credit. But I got to tell you, and I'm just going by everything, and you know that I think he's motivated. I think he's been embarrassed by stuff. I think this is the most negative negativity he's heard, and I think something has kicked off, and I think he's on a mission. He went out and ran two 10-100 meters, which we may never, ever see again, in two different states running track meets in California and Texas. And I thought that was a great sign. I honestly was like, all right, man, you're sure. First of all, he could have easily done that at age 30 and run like a 10-5 or 10-6. And that just adds right to the like, oh, he slowed down. Guy goes out and runs stupid times that probably – I don't know of anybody else except maybe a rookie that ran track in the last year or two in college could have run times like he just put together. Just give me an idea. I just think with all this stuff that he is going to come back and be way, way over 1,000 yards. Now, I don't think he's going to be at 1,700 or 1,800. I don't think that's the game plan because I believe Waddle's going to be a bigger part of the offense. But 1,400 or 1,500 yards – especially if Tua plays 15-plus games, yeah. I think, you notice I'd say 15-plus. A couple games he could be out. But I think Tyreek's going to have a big year. And for those reasons. And I also think they looked at Jalen Waddle's numbers, who, you know, everybody got wrapped up in how bad Tyreek Hill's numbers were. Jalen Waddle took the hit, too. Some of it was on, you know, himself dropping balls and those type of things. But we got to get him more targets. You got to get him more involved. He's obviously got to stay healthy too. But he needs to be over 1,000 yards. I don't know what his number is. But those two guys, it's crazy in this offense to think that those two, you don't pay those guys that kind of money on the outside. I believe they're the second highest paid combination of receivers in the league, right there with the Philadelphia Eagle guys on the outside. So I just, you're paying them not to be 900 and 700 yard guys. I think that's going to be a real priority for the Dolphins. And I think both guys, Jalen Waddle, you know, with Tyreek out for the offseason, Waddle really got to get a lot of throws from Tua, and I thought that was probably, for me, one of the most positive things that happened is Waddle out there getting a chance, not worrying about Tyreek Hill targets, and getting a chance to be Tua's guy, go-to guy out there, and get some time and back with him. And, of course, they've been together for a long, long time going back to Alabama. But I just thought those were some good signs for this team. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff. Ben Volen is going to join us early 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about last year's 4-13 Patriots be the Miami Dolphins home opener in week two after the Miami Dolphins play the Colts on the road in week one. And we'll get his take after spending and having a ton of money in free agency to go out and get a lot of guys. And they got some really good players. They did go out and get themselves a lot of frontline guys. They had a big draft class, if I'm not mistaken. I think they had like 11 draft picks. Got the top tackle in the draft, offensive tackle in the draft. And so how much better can they be? How much, including a quarterback, Drake May, was pretty good in year one. Considering what he had around him, I thought he was really good. That's just me. How will he look in year two? We'll get into all that stuff with Big Ben. Not to mention this other topic that goes on. It's so weird. After what Belichick, Kraft, and Brady did, I mean, it's the greatest run we'll probably ever see. The way the system is set up in the NFL for one team to dominate that long. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Kansas City last 5 or 6. Yeah, no. I want to see them do that and continue to do that for another 14 or 15 years and then call me. Because that's what Kraft, Belichick, and Brady were all part of. Owner, head coach, and quarterback. I don't think we're ever going to see a run like that again. I think people get it figured out before that and never. We'll have, yeah, listen, 6, 7, 8 years with Mahomes doing has been great. But you look at what they did in New England. It's incredible. So now everybody's coming out yapping, right? And Tom Brady, I give him credit. He hasn't said much. He's staying out of things and chasing a couple of hotties around these days. He didn't have time for all that stuff. But Robert Kraft, I love this one, Woody. It's so petty for a successful owner and Bill Belichick to respond to it. So Robert Kraft comes out and says, yeah, we took a big risk and gave up a lot to get Bill Belichick, considering he didn't have a winning record when we got him. And so, you know, Belichick wasn't going to let that go. And he goes, no, I took a chance on you. I took a chance on you because your reputation as an organization wasn't very good, except that the Jets were a mess too. So I decided that I would coach for you. And I'm thinking, this is some serious petty old guy stuff. It really is. How about that? Robert Kraft and Belichick, little jabs. Little jabs back and forth about who took a chance on who. It's amazing. It really is. So Robert Kraft's point was, like, look how well this thing turned out. At the time, you know, I was getting ripped because what are you doing? The guy's never been a winning coach. And when he was in Cleveland, he didn't do well. And he's coming from the Jets. And all of a sudden, I love this stuff. Belichick doesn't let it go and goes, no, I took a chance on you. Your organization was a mess too, except the Jets. I didn't want to be there because that thing was really a mess and ownership and everything else. So I came over to you guys. And I was like, oh, my God. No wonder Belichick and Kraft, I guess it's fair to say, no matter what, they're not best of friends right now because of ego. It's pretty crazy stuff. Anyway, we'll talk to Big Ben about some of that stuff. Hey, we're also we're going to do something pretty cool that we did yesterday. If you missed it later on in the show, we had Darren Rizzi, who's now has been with he's interim head coach last year for the Saints, longtime special teams coordinator, and now with the Denver Broncos as assistant head coach and also special teams coordinator. So Riz came on yesterday. He's also in charge of special teams for the NFL. All the changes in special teams on the kickoff and the kickoff return. If you like it, you don't like it, you can blame Rizzi because he was a commissioner's right-hand guy getting all that stuff done. And some of the changes they just made again. So we're going to hear from Riz when we come back. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. As rookies on the field here for a couple of days, nobody cares a whole lot about that right now till the whole team gets together. And then before you know it, they'll be opening some practices for fans to go out and watch, see what it looks like, starting with a lot of young guys, man. I've always had this thing about, all right, so, you know, the higher you get drafted, the more that's expected. That's me. That's not necessarily Omar, but I expect a lot when you're a first round pick to come in and play well. Second round pick should still have high expectations, and then it kind of starts to drop off. But you hope you can still find some guys. And in this case, Jordan Phillips, they're counting on him to play a lot. I think Jason Marshall, the cornerback out of Miami Palmetto, who went to Florida, is a former Florida Gator, is going to get a lot of chances to play. He's going to get to play a lot of preseason football. Dante Trader's in although I think he's a really good athlete and I can't wait to see him, that all of a sudden has become a really loaded position where I think it's going to be harder to get playing time, because I think Afatu, Melifonwu, and Minkah are going to start. Afatu's a great athlete, really good athlete. The only problem he's had is staying healthy, but he's a young guy. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, and I think Ashton Davis is also going to be in a lot of packages. Former New York Jet, third safety there, is going to play a lot. So I don't expect it's going to be a great opportunity for a rookie to play. I'd be surprised. Gordon at the running back position, big running back. Numbers were down last year. The year before were unbelievable. I don't know how much playing time there's going to be for him. I don't. I'm not, and again, I'm not trying to be negative, because he's going to get a lot of carries and get a chance, but I think right off the bat, I think it's going to be Achan and Jalen Wright. That's just my belief. Now, the third position could be wide open, and we'll see, but I think Jalen Wright is going to be the second running back. If I'm just guessing, coming out of what happens in preseason, and Gordon can change that because he is going to get some carries. And we'll see how it goes. Quinn Ewers is the third quarterback. He's the third quarterback right now, and he's going to be the third quarterback. Zach Wilson is the number two quarterback. That's not going to change. And then Zeke Bigger's an interesting one, because he could work his way up and get some playing time as the last guy of this draft. That's one big dude out of Georgia Tech, 6'6", 320-plus pounds. We got three big tackles. We got three big guys to help out, and they're going to need those guys to play. They drafted three defensive tackles. If you're wondering where they thought the priority was that was needed on this team, there you have it. So, yeah, I am just looking at that and where everybody stands, but most of it for me is going to be the first four picks have the best opportunity to play and play a lot in this draft. And then we'll see what we get from everybody else, see if there's a surprise in there or somebody that ends up playing really well that you didn't see coming. But those would be some of the positions here. And then, hey, listen, man, I'm not down on Tua. Like, I like Tua a lot. I think he stands for a lot of good things. I don't care about all the leadership stuff and all that. I just want to see the guy. The best leadership work he can do, again, is tied into what I keep saying. He's got to play 17 games.
Do you believe, and the Texas asked us too, do you believe that the league would step in if he gets another one of those and tell him that he's done?
That's a great question.
I don't even know if they do that? I think it would have to be a doctor that would have to say that, right?
But the lead doctor for the league.
Somebody would have to clear him, obviously. The problem becomes, like, why wouldn't they clear him, right?
Oh, this goes back.
Not that I'm a doctor, but.
Well, no, it's a great question.
Point,
by the way, whoever
from the concussion,
sent that to
you, yeah,
that would be if the next one.
It's just it just looks so bad, man. His concussions are really bad. Like, when Josh Allen gets a concussion, he goes to the sideline for 2 seconds and comes back in.
Right.
The optics of that concussion are a lot better.
All good points, Woody. Yeah. All good points. So the thing is, now everybody in the league and fan base are so well educated on the concussion and what can happen, right? Because now we've seen what has happened to guys that have had concussions, too many of them, and now at my age or younger, we've seen everything from suicide to dementia, right? We've seen all these things. So now it's out there, and it's the biggest black eye that the league has to deal with every day. So I'm guessing off that, no matter, even if family members go, well, why don't you give it one more chance, yeah, you would think that this would be it.
Well, I just think the problem is, too, if it happens again at this point, like, he knows. I mean, he's not an idiot. Like, he knows that this is a big, big issue, right? If it happens again, it just simply means that he can't avoid this.
Right.
Like, if it happens again, it's going to happen again after that, Joe. Like, it's not something that he's just going to be able to stop.
Well, I didn't think we were going to do a big, big topic on this today. But,
no, and I don't know. Like, here's the thing: I don't know how as a, you avoid that stuff. Like, it's it's not like he's running over the middle and getting blown up. Like, I just don't know how you avoid it.
Well, I love this one. Remember last year, the team goes, well, we had to sit down and talk to him. We had to explain to him, we need you to play 17 games. And I'm like, you think he gets hurt on purpose? You think he gets concussions on purpose? I mean, I appreciate you have to say these things because you want us to let us know. Like, you don't think we understand for your job security as well as the best thing for the team that he needs to stay healthy? You don't think he's trying? You think Tua goes out and goes, well, today could be the day, guys. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Of course he's aware of it. He's not trying to get hurt. Now, you know, the competitive thing, he says, I can't change, I'm competitive. You know, I remember the tackle he made against the Rams? Guy intercepted the ball, he came over, you know, and I saw it slow down, and I was thinking, you know, he tackles a guy down low, but you catch a knee or a leg to the head and get kicked, basically, it's the same thing. So, again, he can obviously do a little better job of it, but you can't just take it out of the game completely. You can't. You're still going to take some shots the neck up. Everybody. There's never been a guy go, you know what? I got through this season. I can't believe it. Every time I got hit, it was shoulder down. Your head's going to hit the ground. A body, a defensive body is going to hit you. At some point, you're going to get thrown into other players. It's what's going to happen when you play quarterback. And so hopefully he is able to get through a season. I hope we don't have to. Listen, man, I am rooting hard. I am really rooting hard for Tua to stay healthy for 17 games so we don't have to go through. We can take this off the list. Not that it's not. It's
well,
not
we took it off the list for 1 year, and then we had to put it right back on the list.
Exactly.
But
came back. And,
you want a couple of texts here?
Yeah. Go
954 says, I think the odds would favor having at least one more concussion this year than the opposite. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to avoid.
Again, was it Mike or Chris that said we have to have a discussion? We had a discussion.
There's nothing to discuss, man.
Yeah, there's really nothing to discuss. Thank you. He's not doing it on purpose. So if you're doing that for our sake, we get that. We never had a player come in and go, hey, I'm going to get hurt this year. You know what the deal is. Here we go.
Someone asked, did I say that Josh had better concussions? Talking about Josh Allen. His concussions look better.
Because
he misses a minute. I mean, he missed one play last time. He got knocked out on the field. He missed one play.
You know, and everybody downplayed that. You know, Woody, I didn't see it till you made me aware of it. And you're right.
He got knocked out cold.
I have never seen a guy in and out of a tent faster than he was.
I don't think they looked that.
Nothing ever happened.
He missed one play, if I recall correctly. I think he missed one play.
So the guys that have them, they get up real quickly and go over there and then come back in. First of all, they lie in the tent. Second of all, they don't have a history of concussions, if any at all, where you act like it, you have it, you know, where you stagger around a little bit. So they always get the benefit of the doubt. And some guys just never going to come clean on it. But Tua can't hide his, and he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Matter of fact, the backups to him don't get the benefit of the doubt when they get knocked down now.
Another texter here says, I would bet there are plenty of players that get concussed a lot more often than he does, but unfortunately he has the fencing posture, which makes it quite obvious. Yeah,
yes.
His look
That's
bad.
Those are all good points.
The optics of Tua's concussions are very ugly.
The curling up and all that stuff. And
by the way, I don't ever remember seeing guys doing that. I don't know, man. That's almost like you see some of those guys like in the UFC stuff do that, but
well,
I don't know.
The league, again, there are lawsuits every day. The league is doing everything, and
Here you go, Joe. This guy says Tua can play 70 games and it won't matter when those cornerbacks give up 40 points. There you go.
But that, but again, to have any chance at all, if to his point, if the secondary does, then you got to outscore people and you need Tua. For me, I'm not. Okay, our defense could have some games where our guys are our wide receiver and we don't get a good pass rush and they got some guys running around and they have some big yards, some big games throwing the ball. Those are called shootouts, and we got to be able to match it. That's why we need Tua healthy for 17 games. There are going to be some games where you got to win 34-31.
305 says it's hilarious. Joe thinks Tua is great, but then says everything around him has to be perfect for him to succeed.
I don't think he's great.
I know. I think what you're saying is that they have their best chance with Tua, which
that's all I'm saying.
I'm not a Tua fan, obviously, but I clearly they have their best chance to win with him.
That's it.
I'd rather roll with him than anything else they have.
Right. That's all. But he does need things to be better around him. And
954 is jumping on us, Joe. He says, so as long as it's not in your face, then you guys are okay with it.
What's that?
I think he's talking about the concussions. I think we learned last time, by the way, that it's not our job to tell people what to do.
Yeah, I'm not.
Do you want to get into that whole thing about how like pro athletes are a little bit of a different breed and they work very hard to get to where they're at and it's not so easy to just walk away? You want to get into that whole thing? Didn't your quarterback have a tough time walking away?
Yes. And he got about as much out of it, and yes, it was not easy for him to walk away.
I wonder why that is.
Hey, man, there are a lot of guys who would tell you, like Bo. Bo's had 9 or 10 operations. So, Bo, would you do it again? Knowing everything you know, all day. Would you do it again? All day. Almost every guy. You have a few guys probably going, now that I've seen, now. You know, everybody's different, man. But at least guys are educated. We had no idea. Nobody said the word concussion in the 70s and 80s. The concussion was never mentioned. You got dinged. You got a smelling salt. You walked around a little bit on the side, and you go, I think I'm ready to go. I got a little headache, but I'm good. And you went right back out and played. And nobody said a word. Now these guys know. Now they know, and they've also had a generation of guys to see some things that have happened to guys that have been hit in the head too many times. All right, man, I didn't mean to get into all this serious, serious stuff, man. Holy smokes, it's got a little crazy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Anyway, we say good morning to everybody, 7 o'clock hour here. Hey, Woody, so I've been holding off on this a little bit, but it's about that time. I know you and I always disagree on this this little topic here as everybody's getting ready to go to camp. And, you know, everybody's, how many guys are going to make an impact early on? And that's where we got to have our improvement and all the pieces you've added. And we've seen some late trades here and everything else. When it's all said and done, I've taken a look, and I believe there's three teams in the AFC. Now, there are a lot of teams talking about the playoffs. A lot of teams. I agree with everybody that says more than half the league is talking about we got a chance to be in the playoffs. I believe, though, when you talk about going to a Super Bowl, I believe there's eight teams. Eight. That's it. For different reasons. Now, Woody, I'm going to throw them out at you. And tell me if you agree or if you want to add somebody or take somebody off the list. Let's start in the AFC. Three teams. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo. In that order, by the way. You with me? Are you going to add anybody else or do you want to get rid of anybody?
I just want to hear your list first. Keep going.
All right. I'm going to the NFC. That's all in the AFC.
Oh, that's
NFC.
All. Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
It. NFC. Philly. Of course, Washington, Detroit, L.A., Rams, and I put another team in there, and I'm not completely sold, but I'm doing it to Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I was saying you have to add Green Bay in there.
So those are the five I have, and I'm not sold. Green Bay's the one team that I'm
You're not in on Minnesota.
No. The quarterback thing.
Okay.
Scares
Tampa
me a
Bay
bit.
Doesn't do anything for you.
Nah, not sold. That they seem to win that division with nine wins.
No, I wasn't taking notes while you did this. Did you say the 49ers? I hope you said that.
No, right? I did not.
You did not. Okay.
I'm not.
They're always.
The
they're in the thing every. You know. I know. They
I know. I see people got them in there, and I do that.
I know last year they were, you know, roughed up or whatever. But
well, they lost a lot of guys.
Yeah. But
they're counting on some guys. They're counting on a guy at running back that. You talk about guys that are injury prone right now at this point with all the hits he's taken at that position. I just can never trust McCaffrey. And I know he had a couple thousand yards a couple years ago. He's sneaking up on 3-0 and he scares me.
And then on the AFC, so you went Bills, Ravens, Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Is that it?
Ravens,
you put Cincinnati in there?
No.
Okay, well, Cincinnati needs to go in there.
You got Cincinnati in there?
Yeah, of course.
We mean, of course.
You can't keep doing this. You can't keep saying the guy's the fourth best quarterback in the league and not put him as a team that has a shot to win it.
Scored a lot of points. He's putting up 45 a night.
I think Houston would probably. Houston probably thinks they got a shot. Right? They made some noise.
Now, this is not playoffs, Woody. This is
I understand what you're saying. But they probably think they have a shot, right? They've been in the playoffs. So they probably feel like they have a shot. I'm guessing the Chargers feel like they have a shot. I'm guessing the Broncos feel like they have a shot.
All playoff teams.
Yeah. If you're a playoff team, Joe, you probably at least feel like you have a shot.
Not if you're going into a wild card.
I know, but these are like actual playoff teams. These aren't teams that are like going to sneak into the playoffs. I would think they have a pretty good chance
to make it. So your point is you're going to add a few more teams. You're not just buying.
By the way, I think the Cowboys get in there too.
Oh.
And I'm guessing in their market, I'm guessing every year they think they got a shot, man.
You think the Cowboys.
They're thinking this is the year they get over the hump, yes.
You know if they weren't the Dallas Cowboys.
I know.
They'd
but
be
they are.
Beaten up for now. Wait, so you're on the Prescott's going to lead him?
Well, he's due.
Besides the injuries he's had, he's had a couple no shows through his career too. He's had really bad games at really bad times in big games.
Yes.
Speaking of guys in that.
Well, he would be a comp to Tua, wouldn't he? Like we were talking about, you know, Omar was here when you were gone, and we were kind of saying, like, who would be the comp to Tua? And Dak Prescott kind of fits that mold, doesn't he?
I just think, I don't know, but you just do like – so I went eight teams, three in the AFC. When they have their meetings and that first meeting that's coming up when the whole team gets together, rookies have been there a week, here come the veterans, and they have that first meeting with the coach. And he kind of – he sets the tone. I remember those like yesterday. Old Don Shula standing up there going, guys, all right, got our full team together, start our workouts today, 2-a-days, and he was always into goals. My man loved to talk about, hey, we're going to win the AFC East, and our goal is home field advantage throughout the playoffs and a trip to the Super Bowl. You know, and a guy standing up there and you know, you just see when he's talking that 17-0 thing, you know, is like almost on his chest. You can almost see it. So, and you're going, okay, that was it. So those are the teams that I think stand up there and going, okay, this is a Super Bowl team. And you watered it down. I went with eight. And you watered it to about.
Well, you could also go by the odds too, right? Like you can go by the odds on
these
things.
I'm not going by
odds.
There's five teams. My eyes told me last year.
There's five teams that are plus 1,000 or better, right? The Lions are plus 1,000. You have Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles, Bills, are all under plus 1,000. Then you get into the longer shots, like the Commanders are plus 1,800, 49ers, Bengals, Packers, Rams, all plus 2,000.
Okay.
Then you get into the next tier though, and you got. You know, Chargers, Bucks, Broncos, Vikings, Texans. They got the Steelers in there probably just because of the Aaron Rodgers thing. But
that is the next tier.
Dolphins, by the way, are plus 8,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not the worst. Not even close to the worst.
Yeah, I didn't even do. You went right to the Vegas thing. And I get it.
It gives you a good idea of what they
– No, it does.
You know, as far as, like, teams they think will contend, right? I mean, they're not going to – if they think a team's going to contend, they're not going to make them – You know, like you got the Browns plus 30,000.
I did it the old school way off of what they did last year, what they have coming back, what they've added to the team, and I kind of went that way. Listen, Philly lost some pretty crucial guys on defense, but I think they're going to be just fine. I believe they've got just about everybody back on offense for another run at this thing. Detroit, I don't know how much it's going to matter. They lost both coordinators. I don't know exactly what that means. They're getting their best defensive player back from a serious injury as a pass rusher. But anyway, you can add more teams to it. Yeah, I was just curious. But I almost had just seven. I almost did not put Green Bay in there. You said Green Bay's one of the favorites, too.
Yeah, AFC. Green Bay definitely gets in there. The Steelers are interesting too, right? Because I know you think they're going to be bad or something, but
I'm not buying it.
I don't know, man. I just don't think you deal with this Aaron Rodgers nonsense if you don't think you have a good team.
They are under pressure, and their drought's obviously nothing in common to our drought for winning a playoff game. But that's all they've been talking about. Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game in don't know what, how many years it's been. Not 25, but it's what, and they want to win. Rodgers not your future quarterback. He's a right now quarterback. I mean, he heard him again on the at the golf tournament. Was watching it yesterday again and said, "Hey man, this is it." And I'm with a Hall of Fame coach, and I like this team, and I want to go out the right way. So he was insinuating again yesterday. I want to give it everything I have and get out of here. So anyway, Woody, it's I know you want to get to the playoffs. I just had the elite group of teams that I thought had a chance. I think Rams going to be really good. I don't think Washington's going to take a step back. I think they're going to get their receiver signed. Right now he's making it sound like gloom and doom and not going to play, and they need him, obviously. And then the AFC to me is just three teams. I think Kansas City is as good or better than last year. I don't think they're going to win all those close games. I think their record's not going to be as good. You agree with that? They can't possibly win all those close games like they did last year. Guy's fumbling. Guy gets a 33-yard field goal blocked.
Yeah, they always do, man.
I know. And great teams do, but I just think they're going to have a good record, but they won't be
as good.
Well,
I think they're going to be very motivated this year.
Baltimore looks loaded.
Baltimore's loaded every year, and they fall short.
Right. And Buffalo's coming back.
Same deal.
Same deal.
At some point, though, like Lamar and Josh are going to start, right? That thing's going to start to set in where it's like you guys can't get over the hump, and you're maybe not going to.
What do you think? You're going to blow it up?
No. I know. I know they're not going to blow it up, but like that will be the knock on those guys until they finally, you know, get one.
Well, yeah, they've got to get past.
You know how
Kansas
important
City
those rings
thing.
Are nowadays, man.
Oh no, yeah, LeBron. LeBron got everybody excited about that conversation that he had about people putting too much into rings, and of course, it's kind of weird coming from LeBron, who seems to chase teams that have a chance to get rings. So that was kind of a strange
shot
one.
Good job.
No, but you know. Not everybody's going to win rings. I happen to agree with him on that. There's a lot of really guys that have been great players throughout their careers.
Well, I think it's different in basketball. Like, I mean, obviously have more of an impact individually, right?
Yeah, but now more than ever, no superstar wants to be left alone. The only guy I can even think of is the Greek Freak is the only guy that, hell, there's some people think he still wants to stay in Milwaukee, and you're like, you realize this team you have right now has no chance to win a championship, and you know, and he stayed loyal for a long, long time. All right, listen, we got more stuff to get to here.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, let's go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us this morning. Mike, I'm always amazed. It made it once again. The NFL keeps you busy year-round, right to the end, right to the first day of full squad reporting next week. And there is a zillion things going on, from the NFLPA executive director stepping down or getting fired, Lloyd Howell, to everything else that's going on around the league, including guys trying to get new contracts and some guys getting them and some guys threatening not to come around if they don't get them.
Yeah, you know, the slow time, air quotes, slow time, it never really is.
No.
And if anything, during these weeks that I don't have my morning show, PFT Live, from 7 to 9, it just feels like it's more hectic. It feels like there's more going on. I think because I foolishly assume that it will slow down, and it just doesn't. And this has been nuts. And the NFLPA stuff has really filled that void. Last year, it was the Sunday ticket trial and verdict with multi-billion dollars on the line. So every year, something pops in June that carries us through to the opening of camp.
Mike, if you can, real quickly, as simple as possible, the collusion grievance and what happens to the NFLPA right now?
Well, the collusion grievance is going to be appealed. Now, it was hidden, the ruling, which was a partial victory for the NFLPA, and also generated evidence that the NFLPA could have used as a hammer against the NFL publicly and privately. That was all hidden until Pablo Torre and I exposed it. And then after it was exposed, the NFLPA suddenly decided to appeal the ruling. That'll move forward. And who knows how that'll play out. And one of the realities as to not knowing how it'll play out, we don't know who's going to be running the union. Right now, Lloyd Howell has stepped down amid multiple different controversies. It really was snowballing on him, and I don't know what caused him to walk. I don't know if he was pushed officially, unofficially. The reporting from ESPN is he resigned on his own, but we've been around. We've all been around enough. We've seen enough of these situations where whatever is put out there for official consumption may not be the truth. So we'll see. But the reality is they're going to have to figure out who the interim executive director is. They're going to have to hire a new one. And the hiring process last time was so flawed because it lacked transparency. Nobody knew who the candidates were. And they tried to justify it by saying, we don't want people on the outside influencing the process. Well, if you make it top secret, it looks like someone was handpicked. And whoever is responsible for handpicking Lloyd Howell should probably not be involved in the next process because they did a bad job of vetting. They made a bad decision, as evidenced by the fact that this guy walked away barely 2 years later with an ever-growing list of questions and controversies. So there's a lot of work to be done, and it's all happening at a time when the NFL and the NFLPA are creeping toward the expiration of a CBA. And I think the NFL probably dismayed by all of this because I think they were very happy with the structure that was in place. They're going to have to get to know somebody brand new now. They're starting over, and that could complicate everything from the NFL's perspective.
And then there's the other one we seem to go through, and that is how will the NFL handle suspensions now that Rashee Rice has gotten his, 30 days of in jail, and he's got 5 years to take care of that. But the NFL's got to come down with a suspension. What are your thoughts? I know nobody got hurt. He was driving 119 miles per hour. He was lucky that no one ended up getting injured in it or died in it, I should say. What do you think the suspension will look like for the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, Mike?
Well, this one doesn't have precedent. So, you know, we've got two realities here. Number one, there isn't a data point we can look at from the past and say this is what happens when you're involved in a street racing incident where multiple people are injured. That's number one. Number two, the NFL does whatever it wants to do. And there's two ways that this will proceed. One, the NFL will go to Rashee Rice with a proposed suspension and they'll negotiate it before it becomes a full-blown hearing. Or number two, if they're at odds, let's say the NFL wants to suspend him for a year. And I'm just throwing out a number as an example, and Rice thinks it should only be four games. That's when you activate the process that resulted in the Deshaun Watson suspension a few years back. So it goes quickly or it is more dragged out. And the reality is, and this is kind of like what happened with Justin Tucker, who took an agreed suspension, did a deal instead of having the process play out. As you get closer and closer to week one, you want to get this done. You want to get this wrapped up. You want to put it behind you because Rice is entering year three of his NFL career. He's going to be eligible for a new contract after this season. He's going to want to play well enough this year that he could go to the Chiefs after the season and say, I'm a rising star. You should pay me. So it's going to come down to what the NFL wants and whether or not what the NFL proposes to Rice is so much that Rice just says, I'll roll the dice with the grievance process, with the appeal process, with the official procedure the NFL has in place.
Yeah. Mm. So let's get into all these guys, because everybody thought it was a Miami thing. It's an NFL thing where guys aren't happy with their contracts. We're just finding out more about it as we get closer to camp. T.J. Watt, though, got paid, and I'm thinking, boy, if T.J. Watt got a three-year, $123 million plus the amount of guaranteed money in it, what is Micah Parsons going to be looking at with the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, and I think Micah Parsons is going to do more than just get a click above the new high watermark for non-quarterback. you had Myles Garrett at 40, you had Ja'Marr Chase at 40 and change, and now here's T.J. Watt. And I think he really wanted to pass Myles Garrett in new money average. I think agent competition gets involved in situations like that. CAA wanted to do better than what Myles Garrett had gotten in Cleveland. And now Watt is the king, but Parsons is going to get more. And I don't think it's going to be 41.1. I don't think it's going to be 42. I'm looking at 45 as the number for Parsons if and when the Cowboys finally wake up and do this deal. And just like every other long-term contract the Cowboys have done with a key young player in recent years, they wait and they wait and they drag their feet and they delay and they end up paying more at the end of the day than they otherwise would have paid. They could have done this last year for a lot less than whatever they're going to pay Parsons. But the one thing to remember, Joe, and we see some teams like the Jets this week, they signed both Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson first-round picks 3 years ago after their third seasons and the year they became eligible for a second contract. Some teams can finesse kicking the can through that fourth season. And look at the Bengals last year. They paid Ja'Marr Chase like $4.5 to $5 million last year. Look at the season he had. He's never going to get paid for that season. He gets paid going forward. If you can get that first round pick through that very cheap relative to what you're going to be paying in fourth season, who cares if the market goes up? The Cowboys paid Micah $3 million last year. Who cares if the market's gone up? Because we paid him a hell of a lot less than we would have paid him if we'd have done a long-term deal. So that's one of the things that I don't think gets focused on as much as it should, but the Cowboys won, the Bengals won, a couple of years ago the Vikings won by getting Justin Jefferson to play under the fourth year of his deal. You get a guy to play under the fourth year of his deal, you're saving a lot of money that you're never going to have to pay out again.
Well, let's talk about a team that's been known to be pretty cheap, although they have paid a wide receiver, as you just said, and Joe Burrow. What happens to Trey Hendrickson, who nobody's got more sacks, 17.5 each of the last 2 years? What happens there?
Well, I saw somebody suggest yesterday that now Hendrickson will leapfrog Watt. That's not going to happen. I think Hendrickson just wants to get to Max Crosby, and I think he's going to have a hard time getting there. As I've heard it all along, the Bengals are around 28. Hendrickson wants that Max Crosby 35, 36. You know, maybe he gets north of 30. Maybe Watt getting 41 helps him get there. But the thing about the Bengals is they just don't care. Remember last year, Hassan Reddick held out with the Jets and held out and held out into the regular season and eventually showed up and had a face-saving deal but still lost millions of dollars. I think that Hendrickson needs to be careful, because if he holds out and starts racking up massive daily fines and starts giving up game checks, the Bengals just won't care. They'll happily keep his money. They'll go forward with the guys they have. I mean, they are stubborn and cheap. It is the worst possible combination. And it's amazing they're as good as they are. When you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that goes a long way toward overcoming the dysfunction. But the Bengals, I think really at the core, Joe, it's about power. It's about letting the players know who's boss. It's about letting them understand and making sure they realize they're just bit pieces in this machine, and they're going to be removed, and the machine is going to continue, and we're never going to blink. We're never going to yield power. We're never going to give in because we run this show. And I feel like that's the message that comes from the Bengals front office to a lot of their players, except for Joe Burrow. And even Chase, they got a good deal on Chase, and they got a good deal on T. Higgins. When those deals came out and we broke them down, I was like, man, this could have been a lot more expensive for the Bengals if these guys had pushed it.
Yeah. Wow. So we have noticed Cam Ward. There's just been, for the first overall pick, Mike, usually we're hyping the young quarterback and we're doing more about that topic than anything else. There's really been nothing about Cam Ward. He's just, there's no hype. He's a first overall pick. And what's been your read on Cam Ward? Kind of the boring first overall pick.
This is exactly what I think a guy needs to have an opportunity to reach his full potential. You don't want hype. You don't want attention. You don't want pressure. Cam Ward seems like a guy who can handle it. And I remember vividly back in late February being at the scouting combine, sitting with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, possibly back to back, if not back to back, with maybe one guy in between. And they're so different. Shedeur Sanders is very affable and gregarious and loose. Cam has an intensity to him that kind of makes you sit forward in your seat. And I've seen different clips of him interacting with teammates. Between the way he carries himself, and that laser focus he has, and his arm. He's got one of those arms where it's just like, there comes the ball. And yep. when he went to rookie minicamp, one of the things that we look for, the comments from players who come from different colleges and all of a sudden they're with Cam Ward and they're like, I got to get used to this ball. I got to get used to catching this ball. It goes all the way back to the tales of the Elway cross. Remember the Elway cross?
Yes.
That left bruises in the shape of a cross on the torsos of the men who had the misfortune of getting in the way of his passes. Aaron Rodgers has that reputation. Mahomes, just that arm, that I've never seen a guy throw like this before. Guys who have been playing football their whole lives, I've never seen this. That is a good sign for the Titans, who, frankly, I mean, there are more than one irrelevant teams right now in the AFC South, but the Titans and the Jaguars, I think they're in a competition for the most irrelevant team in the NFL. Cam Ward helped turn that around for the Titans pretty quickly.
So I got to ask you the other thing popping up there, the executive order for the NIL. You know, I thought of you right away when I saw
that. Don't get me started, Joe. Joe's in a good mood. Yeah, you know, it's a shame. These kids don't have representation. There's no one looking out for them, and they're going to get screwed. They're going to get hosed because, oh, no, oh, no, the players are getting paid. Oh, no, there's chaos. There's chaos. There's an existential threat to college football because, God forbid, these players are getting paid. Here's how simple it is. It's harder now for the coaches. It's inconvenient for the coaches. The rabbit has the gun, and the coaches don't like that. The coaches don't have the players under their thumbs anymore. The players have options. The players have power. The players can leave if they think the coach is being a jerk. Oh, no. Oh, no. Woe is us. And, you know, I hear all this talk about how we need to restore balance in college football. Joe, when has there ever been balance in college football? Like, before the money was available, it was Clemson and Alabama every year. But see, Clemson and Alabama don't have the same money behind them that Texas A&M and Texas and USC have. So all of a sudden, little Nicky, he's having a problem. And when he started pissing and moaning, sorry, about NIL a few years ago, it's like he knows he can't compete in this world. He knows he can't go in and sweet talk family members and convince the guy who's got 10 different options to come play for him. He's getting out, and he did. And my prediction, Joe, once this executive order is signed, and I don't know that the executive order even has any teeth, but once the SCORE Act is passed, watch for Saban to come back and go somewhere else where he can use a quality of resources to supplement that with his charm. And it's funny to think that he has charm, but he does. And stack the deck in his favor and win another national championship or two before he goes off to the great gridiron in the sky.
So I was going to ask you, so you think he's got the itch? I know he won't come to the NFL. We'll definitely go back to college football. You think he's got the itch, even though he's doing a lot of stuff? He's got a lot of commercials. That show on Saturday is pretty popular, the college football show. He and McAfee have been added to it. It's got good stuff to it. You don't think that's enough for him?
I think that Nick Saban has a competitiveness, an intensity, a desire that even when you don't see it, it's still there. I remember 20 years ago, Joe, 20 years ago next month, sitting down and interviewing Nick Saban, because I don't know how much you know about that story, but we were wearing him out his first year on the job because all the beat writers that were pissed off about how he was treating them was funneling us all this information, and we were calling him the Nick-tator, and he hated that. So we brokered this deal with Harvey Green to sit down with Nick Saban at the hotel in Pittsburgh when they came to town. It was the first real interview I ever did. I mean, what the hell do I know, right? I'm a guy with a website. So as I'm talking to Saban, like, everything above the table was very, very calm and controlled, and he had this foot that was a freaking jackhammer with a shot of nitrous oxide that was, it was just nonstop. And so I think that jackrabbit foot, that is driving him And he's, and Lane Kiffin said it recently. He thinks he's coming back either to the NFL or to college. I'd be stunned if he goes to the NFL. Stunned. Because he can't see. He can't stack the deck in his favor.
I said the same thing a couple days ago. Yep. He likes recruiting classes. Yep. Not one first round pick.
10 first round picks. And the problem is he can't afford to buy 10 first round picks. But if all the money is equal or relatively equal, he can attract 10 first round picks. He can use everything he used at Alabama to put together a team of superstars. And the balance that we're being sold, the balance will not exist because the great recruiters will bubble to the top again.
That's right. That's exactly right. Mike, that's a great way to leave it alone, man. Can't wait for next week. It'll be a lot more football yap going on there. Thank you so much, bud. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.